the prophetic ministry, part six. Prophetic ministry, part six. And I'm going to go to my scripture here in Acts 13:27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and the rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Now I know we've went over the scripture a lot, but see, it was their fixed custom to read all through the Sabbath day. They just didn't have a Sunday morning service. Of course, you know, their Sabbath was Saturday. They just didn't have an hour service. This was an all-day thing, and these scriptures were read throughout the day, all day. Now, let me give you another scripture here in 2 Corinthians 3. I'll start at verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. When they read scriptures, there wasn't a New Testament. They were living epistles. So when Jesus said, search the scriptures, he was talking about what we call the Old Testament. Well, he says, until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, this is referring to the Old Covenant, the veil is upon their heart. Now, we're talking about these guys that read every day. And I just bring that over into today. We got people who go every Sunday morning, Sunday night, every Wednesday, and they don't hear a word. They don't hear a word. Same veil is upon their heart. Same veil. Which veil is only, now I added the word only, the veil is only done away in Christ. No other way is it done away. It's done away in Christ. And this goes all the way to the leaders. It went to all of them. Let me go over here. Let me go back to Acts and let's look at this verse again. Acts 13:27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and the rulers, because they, now listen to this, knew him not, nor the voices of the prophets which are read. But look what he says first. They did not know him. And I want to tell you something, guys. This is not about a long-distance relationship. And everyone that has Jesus and planted heaven, it's a long-distance relationship, and you cannot know him. To know somebody requires some contact. I mean, it really does, but even today, these things filter over into everyday society, and we got people now that can never know each other than online, and then they meet, and they think they know each other. They don't know nothing. The only way to know somebody is to spend time with somebody, and if Jesus is way over yonder, there's no way that I can have a relationship. A relationship, just even in our natural mindset, requires some close proximity. I mean, it does. Because they knew him not, they didn't hear the voices of the prophets. Now, let me go to Matthew here. Matthew 7. I'm going to start verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. You remember I sent them two chairs up here, and I put them red towels on, and I said the straight gate. Here it is, blood on the door. It's the cross. Enter in at the straight gate, for Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Many. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let me just make this statement right here. In our mindset, the way we've been raised up, how does the sequence of life go? Live, then you die. Right? But really, we die, we're in death, and we don't go from life to death, we go from death to life. Now, we just excluded a whole bunch of people right there because they're living right now waiting to die. Well, we know we've been dead and Christ is our life. Whole different. Few there are that find that. Beware of false prophets. Now, just listen to this. How many times have we thrown these terms out here? You'll know by their fruits. Now, we usually refer that to good and bad, right? You'll know by their fruits. But let's just see who he's talking about here. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now guys, this is in red. Y'all know what that means? That means this is Jesus calling some people ravening wolves. The calm, mild-mannered Jesus loves everybody. You know, you shall know them. Now, wait a minute. Who is them that we're talking about here? The false prophets. You will know them by their fruits. Now, who are we going to know by their fruit? The false prophets. This doesn't say a thing about anybody else, because I'm going to tell you what. In some people, when the Lord is working and dealing with, you won't see nothing. You really won't. But now, these that are producing these kind of fruits, you will know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now notice we're not talking about trees. We're talking about a good tree and a bad tree. Kind of takes me back to the garden, don't it, you? Yes. A tree of knowledge of good and evil. Christ. Guess which tree we came from? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. It's impossible. Now think about that. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. My God, so he just said it's impossible for a corrupt tree to bring forth good fruit. Can't do it. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Do you see what we've been talking about here? Guys, we've talked about enter in at the straight gate. Now we're talking about trees, and the ones that don't bring forth good fruit are going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Again, just a double witness right here of, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You ever wonder why Jesus just, it seems like he just changed keys right there? I'm saying, there's going to be some ravenous wolves over here, you're going to know them by their fruits. Then all of a sudden he says, there's going to be some that says they know me. But he just told you that this corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Then he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. How do we start this out? Enter ye in at the straight gate, right? Now, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will. What's the only doing that we got here? Enter ye in at the straight gate. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, in my mindset, I would always think, well, this is the lying preachers. These are the ones that's taking people's money and, you know, stuff like that. Surely it wasn't me. Because none of us ever think we're mean or evil or none of that stuff. But let's look what he said. Enter ye in at the straight gate. So those that enter in at the straight gate, we got two classes of people. We got those who enter in at the broad gate. And many they are, and he says that road leads to destruction. You'll know them by their fruits. And those that bring forth bad fruits, that's going to be cut down and cast into the fire. It'll be those same ones that come to me saying, Lord, look what all we've done for you. And I'm going to say, I never knew you. Who does he know then? And remember, I've only got two classes of people here. Those who go the broad way, those who enter in the straight gate. The only ones he knows is what? The ones who come by way of the cross. And why do I say that? Remember the verse? Why did they not know him? Because they didn't come by way of the cross. And you cannot know Christ any other way except by way of the cross. You see where I'm going? I'm telling you what, this scripture I'm reading in Acts is a current scripture. They don't hear. They don't know him. And they don't hear. How many times have you said, well, one of these days, the Lord is just going to open it up. We're going to all know everything. We get over yonder. We'll know everything. I mean, I've heard that. I know you guys have heard it. I believe that. Can't wait to get there. Then we'll know all this stuff. It wasn't stuff. It's they never knew him. And the only way to know him was by way of the cross. And I'm going to tell you what. That was the root of the whole problem with these Jews. It's the root of the whole problem today. They were not willing to accept the cross. And people today are saying, now that's a lie. You see, these guys in the Old Testament were not willing to admit or to accept a suffering Messiah. They wanted King David. Let me just give you part of a line from a scripture. Now, if I had to tell you guys or ask you guys, pick me out a scripture that talks most prominently about the suffering Messiah, where would you go? Isaiah 53. Right? Everybody knows that scripture. Well, how does that chapter start? Who hath believed our report? Still yet today, who hath believed our report? They had their own minds, I got a busted water bottle, made up about what the Messiah would do, how he would come. That won't leak. I'm good.
Baptize George.
I'm baptized. I kept one wax get water up here. See, in their minds, they had it made up of what Jesus was going to be. Not Jesus, but the Messiah was going to be and what he was going to do. Isn't that the way it is today? They have their mind made up who Jesus is going to love, who he's going to reject, who he's taking to heaven with him, who's going to be in this big house, how he's going to do this, how he's going to bless me and set me on his right hand. Really, them people that say, I just want a cabin over in Glory Land are trying to be self-humble. I know what they secretly want. Lord, I'm just going to ask for a cabin. And all the Lord's going to say, oh, you're just Mr. Humble. Think I'm going to give you a great big house. Yours will be twice the size of Elvis's. A lot of acreage. But, you know, even I just read this in Isaiah. Spoke of a suffering Messiah. But yet, they couldn't get it. Now, Paul, he's dealing with this. Look in Galatians. He's in Galatians. Thanks, sir. Look what he says here at the end of the chapter. Now you know what's happening here in Galatians. Of course, this happened to Paul. Paul has come preaching Christ. Of course, Paul used to be the number one Judaizer. Raised up at the feet of Gamaliel. I mean, he was the top of the rung, buddy. He was Mr. Religion. Now, to all them guys, he's a traitor. He's a turncoat. So every time Paul goes into a place, he's got these people following him up, buddy. And they're just coming right behind him, trying to tear down. Paul says, look, guys, circumcision is no longer, you know, of the flesh. It's of the heart. And no longer a Jew outwardly, but a Jew inwardly. He's doing all these things. These people are coming behind him and saying, don't you listen to him. Don't you listen. Just like people would say of these messages, don't you listen to him. You know, if you're wrong, you're going to go to hell. So they would just come behind, tearing down everything that Paul would try to establish. And he would say, listen, guys, I build on no other foundation than that of Christ. I'm a wise man. I wouldn't have none of it. He says right here in Galatians, I mean, because he's arguing with them, because he would come in and preach these things, and these guys would come in and say, guys, I know you guys used to be Gentiles, but here's the way it is now. We used to be under the law, but now we're under grace. But you still need to be circumcised. And now we keep the law, but what we can't keep, grace will make up the difference. So, wow, this is... Paul said, come on, guys, should we sin more that grace may abound? You don't have to be circumcised. That's not what... Look what he says. I'm going to just start at 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. How many... Do we want to come about and say, oh Lord, I might not prophesy your name, but here's what I'm going to do. Do you know how many I've led to the Lord? Do you know how many I've baptized? I can't even count the number of people that I've baptized. It's been so many, the work that I've done for the Lord. I'm just telling you guys, do y'all know anybody like that? Because I do. You know how many funerals I've preached and families I've comforted and all these other things? But they want to desire to have you circumcised. They may glory in your flesh, so I can just sit back and say, man, I remember when Clyde was a man. I baptized him, led him to the Lord, and now look at him. Man, he's a great guy. Right? This happens, guys, all around. There is such an abomination in the church, it's pathetic. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I am to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. Now what rule did we say? Christ. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world's crucified to me, I'm crucified to the world. As many as walk according to this rule, this is the straight gate, the narrow way, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Literally, they couldn't hush Paul up, so they beat him to death all the time. I mean, they beat him, throwing him in prison. Literally, he bore in his body the marks. Now, what's he preaching? He's preaching the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says here in Galatians 5:11. Let me start with verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. He's saying, look, I've been working with these Galatians, these people are coming on, and I'm just telling you, you know, sometimes it's like these guys that are troubling you are going to bear their own judgment. And then in verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? You hear what he's saying? He's saying, guys, if I wanted to stop being beat, I could go start preaching circumcision again. I could just go right back and preach in the Ten Commandments. I wouldn't be persecuted any longer. But why do I yet? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Do you see what he just said? He says, by preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, it is an offense. And because of that offense, I suffer this persecution. Because of this offense. If I was willing to drop that, I could escape the suffering. I want you to think about that. In my mind, I used to think, how could you not want a suffering Messiah or cross? This goes back from really just not understanding. Because, guys, I'm going to tell you something here. The Jews, all the time when they done a sin, and you go back and look, read Leviticus. I've been looking at Leviticus, just looking and looking and looking. Let me just go right over here. I can get it right out of the first one. It's probably not the best to get it out of the first one, but because it's a burnt offering. So here he is, I'm in Leviticus 1, and he is going to bring as burnt offering of the herd. Offer a male without blemish. So verse 4, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. And it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Now, guys, I haven't done a lot of deep study. I apologize for that. But that word jumped out at me, atonement. I thought, man, we're talking about a burnt offering here. We're not talking about a sin offering. Atonement, that word is really atonement, atonement. So I sin. I do a wrong, whatever that is. I bring up my offering. I lay my hands on the head of that offering. And I just got to thinking about, what did we put on the head of Jesus? We put a crown of thorns on his head. But I lay my hands on the head of this bullock or whatever, and it's an atonement for me. And I got to thinking, what is, in our Christian upbringing, what did we lay on the lamb? And I just think, I mean, just be honest with yourself. What were we taught that we laid on the lamb? Behold, the Lamb of God, which does what? So I take all my sins, and I come up here to the Lamb, and I put my hand on it. I lay my hand. Now Jesus has got all my sin, and now I'm clean. We didn't realize, guys, we were the problem. Do you see what I'm talking about? Because we come from the wrong tree. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin, not sins. In other words, he had to take me out of the way. But I didn't want him to take me out of the way. That's offensive to me. I just want him to take my stuff out of the way. I'll keep my good. You take all the bad stuff. Get it out of the way. And when you start preaching, you're the problem. And I'm going to tell you what, guys. The only trouble you ever have, really, you are at the root of all your trouble. You really are. You are at the root of your trouble. Whenever you are removed, you got peace. And isn't the world, isn't everyone wanting peace? And God's peace in earth. Guys, there will never be peace on earth. There won't. It's peace in earth. That's where it's at. Why is that? Because Christ in you. Now, when there's peace in earth, it may manifest on the earth, but that's not the point. The point is peace in the earth, right here. Now, guys, let me just throw this out here at you. I got to think how to word this. Do you realize that every bit of trouble that you have going on in your life, whatever you worry about, whatever circumstances or whatever, the Holy Ghost is trying to get you to repent. Now you're thinking, repent? Did they not baptize into repentance? Now let's think what baptism is. What is baptism? We are buried with him in baptism. What is that? As Paul said, circumcision availeth nothing, uncircumcision availeth nothing but a new creature. So we're preaching, we're what? Baptism into repentance. What is baptism? What is repentance? Turn. Turn from you. Do you see what I'm saying? Turn from you. So whatever is troubling you, and you know, there'll be circumstances that the Holy Ghost is always saying there, because these things, you'll be tried and anger and upset and worry and everything will be brought and laid out there. But the true mark, I've got to be careful how I say this, of a believer, a true mark of one who has comprehension of being on the mercy seat, has undisturbed peace. Now listen to what I'm telling you. Undisturbed peace from the mercy seat. I didn't say no circumstances, because you know what, guys? You're always going to have circumstances. It's always going to be hot and cold and night and day and warm and flies and ticks and kids and bills and all that stuff. But the mark of a true believer is steadfast, immovable peace. Now again, you may not know them by their fruits, because they're not out here. And how many Christians do you know? Up and down. I feel so close to the Lord. He said, I feel so far away from him. I feel, you know, the Lord has blessed me. The heavens are brass. Paul said, I don't want you to be children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That ain't, I believe this, I believe this. This is what's going on in your gourd. It's what's going on in your gourd. Now, I got to throw another scripture here. I'm going to go to 2 Peter. I'm off the mark on that. You see, this preaching, this offense that I'm talking about, it went farther than that. And what I mean with just a national issue with Jews, but it has to become a personal one. They wouldn't accept the principle of the cross in themselves. See, I don't know if these will even tie together. Do we not? I mean, if you just read Paul's letters and John's and Peter's, would you not see that there is a hurry up kind of tone to what they're saying? I mean, there really is. It's like hurry up. Urgent. Jesus would be urgent with the people. So, has that stopped? No. Why? I mean, you ever think, why? Oh, I got my whole life to live. Well, all of us, I mean, why are we here? We know Christ is in us. We know that, but do we not want to see some evidence? Really, I'm just throwing it out there, guys. We want some evidence. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Y'all know I'm in 2 Peter 3:10. It will come as a thief in the night. Now let me tell you something, guys. He's not coming as a thief in the night to the believer. But we'll leave that alone. I'm looking for one phrase here, and I got to read this to get to it. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. I wonder what noise that is. The elements shall melt. You need to look that word elements up and search it out to see what all elements that is. Shall melt with fervent heat. He shall baptize you with a fire. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, wait a minute. We just read this over here in Matthew about those that don't know him. Their works are going to be burnt up, their fruit. Seeing then all these things, what's he saying? Seeing then, understanding, comprehending, all these things shall be dissolved. Now, what things is he talking about? All these things, everything of the earth. Let me just say it. All your religious mindset, everything you've been taught, upbrought, whatever. Dissolved. What manner of persons ought you, to be? In all holy conversation and godliness. Well, I mean, that's manner of living. Looking for and hastening, this is the phrase, unto the coming of the day of God. We're in the heavens being on fire. I thought if I went to heaven, I got to avoid the fire. It says it right here that the heavens is on fire, right? And you know, it just kind of comes to my mind sometimes. Next time somebody says, boy, you're going to be burning. I'm going to think, according to this Bible, I could be burned in either place because the heavens is going to be on fire and hell's going to be on fire. I guess everything's being burned. Where the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But look at this phrase. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord. Looking for. Now, my guys, are we not looking for? Now, Peter's telling us, and then he says, hastening unto the coming of the Lord. Now, if we're not careful here, what we'll do with this with our carnal minds is, oh, Lord, you know, with the current administration in the White House, it's the end of time. And right here, this verse just proved that, right? Oh, the end of time's just about over. Well, this was wrote about 2,000 years ago. And he says, hastening unto the coming. The apocalypse is the revealing of Jesus Christ, but hastening. Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying, you can hasten this day of the Lord. Now, we thought we didn't have a thing to do with it, right? But he says you do. Now, let me give you another verse. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Now, this is how we started off, right? They didn't hear. Keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In other words, the throttle's in your hand. You can speed this thing up. You can speed it up. How? Can you speed up the day of the Lord? Okay, I know you were going to ask. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he, that word is condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know what that word condemned is? That's the same word as judged. Let me read it to this. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, that's a godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he judged the world. My God, is there, you see, guys, and I've been preaching this on Sundays, there is no grace except from judgment. There is judgment. Then grace comes from that. If there's no judgment, there's no need for grace. And here was the judgment. Jesus says, now is the judgment of the world. Why did he say now is the judgment of the world? Because he was there. And wherever he's there, there is a judgment. And the judgment is never, ever, ever, never. Judgment is between life and death. That's why he showed up. Now is the judgment of this world. Why? Because he was there to judge all dead. And he was the first one risen out from among the dead. The first fruits. Do you see that? And he raises up in us. So he says, you want to hasten unto this day to the coming of the Lord. Now, how did Noah do that? Do you realize, guys, if it had took Noah 1,000 years, that's how long they'd have waited? When he finished that ark, I'm going to tell you what, guys, when he drove that last nail in that ark, God said, all right, get him, it's time. What was Noah doing that whole time? By faith, Noah was warned of God of things not yet seen, moved. He moved with fear. He prepared an ark. So what does that mean, move? What is our only design? Well, I knew you were going to ask, so we might as well give you some scriptures. This is what God, through the Holy Spirit, revealed to Paul. This is what I want you to do, guys, okay? Because that's what we all want to do. Find out what the Lord has in store for us. Starting churches and, you know. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not something to be held on to, let me say it that way, to be equal with God. He gave his standing up in glory, But he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How do you hasten the day of the Lord? You become obedient. Obedient unto what? Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And it's offensive to the flesh. Yes. It's offensive to the flesh. Now remember, I said this thing has to be personal. All right, here comes one. I'm just saying, you don't know where I'm reading. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, he wasn't just a common guy. He was a ruler of the Jews. In other words, this guy had some clout. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, that word again means from above. You can go look it out, it doesn't mean that you're born again, it means you must be born from above. And the reason I know that is because Nicodemus makes this statement. Let me finish reading. Except you be born from above, cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't even see it. Listen, guys, for those who tell me they're waiting on a city to come down, I know they're not born again. How could they be? Think about it. Because they haven't seen the kingdom. And he says, guys, except you be born from above, you'll never see it. So what do? We run out to the water and say, baptize me. Clyde, I want to be born again. Take me out to the Clinch River and dunk me in there. And he says, that's the baptism of John. But there's another one that's come. This is the baptism. Paul even says, guys, since you were baptized in water, have you received the Holy Ghost? Because
yes.
This is the real one that counts. And they said, we've never even heard of a Holy Ghost. What is that?
It's that fire.
There's the fire. We'll see, when that baptism comes, there's when everything melts. Our heaven passes away. Earth passes away. But Nicodemus says, now remember, he's a ruler. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he yet be born the second time? My God, guys, this is what they think being born again is. I am born again. That's not right.
No.
Let me tell you something, guys. Let this statement sink in. Christ, now I know how this may be perceived, so I hope that you will just let this work. Christ came here as the judgment. All dead, right? Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you something. He did not, he never did, nor ever will resurrect Adam. Adam's, but the first thing we do is we want to jump up and say, what about grandma and all that? No, guys, Christ raised up from the dead. Christ is raised up in you. Adam is not. Took him down, and that was it for Adam. That was it. And we all had part in that. And even Christ took part in that. How do I know? Because he became the last. Listen to what I just told you. Not a reborn Adam, not a born again Adam, but the last Adam. Last means no more. But did we read that over there in Galatians? But a new creature. A new creature. Nicodemus, he understood something about being born again. That's what the churches think. Oh, I've been born again. But you see, that's the reason I know that word again. It's not the right word. It's born from above. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He ain't talking about the creek out here. He's talking about the water of the Word. He cannot enter into the kingdom. Wait a minute, I couldn't even see it. Now I'm getting a glimpse of it, but I can't enter in. Now I'm just going to skip down The verse 8, Nicodemus answered and said to thee, how could these things be? I don't even know what to, I'm a ruler. I'm a scholarly guy. How in the world can these things be? I come here to ask you about miracles. You're talking to me about the kingdom. I don't understand these things. Jesus said, art thou a master in Israel and you don't know these things? I thought you was the big to-do. I thought you had your degree from the Moody Institute in Chicago. Right? I mean, I thought you was a Presbyterian by birth. I mean, you're supposed to know these things. Don't you even know? Verily I say to you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. You don't receive it. You don't hear, you don't know him, and you don't hear the voices of the prophets. Look what he says here. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how in the world are you going to believe heavenly things? No man ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, and the Son of Man which is in heaven. But listen, he didn't stop there. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What did he just do to Nicodemus? He just presented him with the cross. Presented him right with it. Now, the cross hadn't even taken place yet. Okay? Don't you know these things, Nicodemus? Look at this other one. Matthew 19. Let's see. 19:16. And behold, one came unto him and said, good master, what good things shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? My God, ain't that on the signs on the side of the road? Here's how you're going to get salvation, 10 steps to salvation. I know, I've seen it on the signs. Same question right here, isn't it? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. All right, let's just break it down on your level. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor mother and father. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This young man says, man, I got this. All these have I kept, not even just today, but since I was a little bitty boy, I have done it from my youth up. But I just want to ask Jesus, because I've kept the commandments, even from my youth. I just want to ask you one more question. Is there anything else? Because what you just said, that wasn't even too hard. Is there anything else that you need me to do that I may have eternal life? Because, man, I've baptized a whole bunch. I've gotten a whole bunch of people saved. I started two churches. And, you know, we built a great ministry. And people's coming. Me and you, man. Me and Jesus. Jesus said unto him, all right, you want to be perfect? Go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Wait a minute, I thought following the commandments was following him. I heard that my whole life. Didn't you? Mm-hmm. But yet, this is not included, is it? Right, because he says, all right, you keeping the commandments, that's good, now follow me. Well, I thought following you was keeping the commandments. You see the quandary here? But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, here's where we carnal-minded people justify being poor as paupers, ain't it? I don't want to have no money in my billfold because, you know, easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into heaven. And I'm thinking, I should bust it wide open. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I should get there real easy. Lord, I've done my part. I've been poor my whole life. Here's what he says in Luke 18:24. And when Jesus saw that same basic story, he was very sorrowful. How harmless shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Y'all know this. He wasn't talking about money in your billfold. Let me just go over here to Revelation. So let's just look at this, what he said. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. To me, he could have stopped on one, but no. Now, guys, he is writing to the church. He ain't writing to the Jews. He is writing to Christians. And he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Not just any gold. Gold that is tried in the fire. I wonder where that fire was. You realize, guys, when Jesus was crucified. Well, let me just back up a little bit. Here in the temple, when I laid my hands on this sacrifice, I took the sacrifice over here, they cut its throat. Right? They took the blood, sprinkled it on the side of the altar. Depends on what it was for. Some on the side, some all around the altars. They would cut this thing open, and they would take the meat and lay it up here. They would take the livers and lay it up here. But there was a whole lot of stuff that was just a mess. The flesh, the hide, the skin. You know what they done with that? They gathered it all up, took it outside of the camp, and burned it. Where was Jesus crucified? Outside of the camp. I counsel of you to buy of me gold tried in the cross. I can say it that way and it'd be the same thing. Gold tried in the cross. I wonder what that gold was. What did he say right in the middle of all that? Before he got to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what to do. But on the cross, he said, it is finished. This is the gold that you need to be buying for me right there. You need to be coming to the cross. That's the only place you're ever going to know him. It's through that cross. There ain't no other way. Those all others are a thief. But it's offensive because I've had this religious mindset from my youth up. I went to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. I went to vacation Bible schools, and I've done all this, just like Nicodemus. He said, you know what, Nick? I'll put it down in Jim Moore translation. Nicodemus, you need to forget everything you knew. Every single thing that you knew. You need to lay it down right. That's what he told the rich young ruler here. Sell everything that you have. In other words, you need to give up everything that you've ever knew. That's the only way you're going to know it. That's offensive. Because what religion thinks they're wrong? None. I'm going to tell you what, guys, and I've thought this and over and over and over, we say, and I, you know, now that I look back on these statements, I think of the stupidity of the statements. I would say, oh, George, you know, you're going through it right now. Do you know God wants to bless you? He really wants to bless you. And then I would start thinking, if God wanted to bless me, do you think what would hold him back? I mean, think about that. God wanted me to have a Cadillac. What would stop him? But you see, we don't get that. We just think God is really up there and he's really wanting to, you know. And that really gets you excited because, you know, everybody's going through some situations and I'm thinking, just hang on. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. If you'll just hang on in the morning when you wake up, God's going to bless you. And you know what, guys? You know how many times I woke up in the morning and it's nothing. I don't know about you, but nothing. And the next morning, that's my own word. Nothing. You see? And I'm thinking, come on. I got excited yesterday at church and the message was good. I just knew the Lord was going to bless me. No. But you see here, guys, and what we've been talking about this kingdom, But guys, do you realize we want an earthly kingdom also? I tell you that, guys, we do. We can't help it. We want evidence.
Absolutely.
Oh, Lord. And do you realize, I mean, I'm standing up here, but do you realize that in our earthly kingdoms, we have a king, and he sits on a throne, and we put a crown on his head. If it ain't ourselves, it's somebody else. It is, guys. I had my favorite preachers, and you do too. Somebody's that we look up to, and we want this earthly kingdom. We want all the seats full and sides busted out, and we're praying God and do this because we really, in our mindset, we want to see that. He says, you know, Patty, you need to sell all that you have. That's offensive. So you mean to tell me we're going to start this church and 13 people's going to be there, and 27 years later, 13 people's going to be there? I don't know if I really sell all that you have. Because this message is offensive. It's offensive. It's offensive today. Because they don't want to tell you you are your problem. They want to say, oh, here's a lamb. Now take all your dirty stuff, Oakley, lay it on him, and he'll take it away. And then he wants to bless you. Heck, I want a Jesus like that. I don't have to come to the cross. I don't have to come through the straight gate. A gate that costs me my life. I can just sit over here, let Jesus do it, and then bless me. God wants to bless you. My thinking is, if he wanted to bless me, why didn't he just create me over yonder? Or put me in heaven. I didn't have to come here. You know, I mean, that's just my thinking. Oh, man. And you know what, guys? We get in trouble every day. Because the Lord hides from us what he's doing. He starves our souls. Come on, guys, am I telling you the truth? Have you not begged and pleaded? Have you come to a point where you feel like you've come to the end? Have you ever just, I mean, we're praying for stuff, right? It starts out that way. Good morning, man. You know, I'm going to pray for everybody. Nothing. And you just keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. Finally, you just get to the end of all that. Because the Lord is withheld. And I'm thinking, I thought he was a good God. Have you ever been angry with him and just said, man, you know, I love reading Jeremiah. And he says, you know what, God, I've gotten a message. I can just hear Jeremiah thinking, man, I can't wait till tomorrow on the Sabbath night. I got a message that's going to knock him out. And this comes straight from the Lord. And when he got done preaching and beat the fire out of him, throwed him in the cesspool. This doesn't happen once. This happened several times. They beat the fire out of him, and Jeremiah says, you know, Lord, I may never speak your name again. Because every time I do, I end up back in the cesspool, beaten. These people think I'm an idiot. Isaiah, I told you, they sawed him asunder. Isaiah said, guys, guess what? A virgin's going to conceive and bring forth a child. They said, this guy is on drugs. A virgin's going to conceive and pray for them. That ain't even natural. I mean, I'm sure Isaiah, it took about 400 years for Isaiah's words to become of any strength to all them generations, because they would not hear and they would not know him. Why? Because it is offensive. It's offensive. We want a kingdom that we can see, hear, taste, touch. Evidence, something that tingles the senses. The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. It don't appeal to the senses. But the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, joy in heaven. In the Holy Ghost. Now see, this is a peace that passeth understanding. A peace that I can't explain to you. A peace that you can only experience. I mean, we're praying. I mean, have you ever come to the point, God, why do you do this? Why do you not do that? Lord, I have brought people's righteousness before the throne many times, and I've said, oh, Lord, you know, Tim, man. Tim has been a churchgoer since he was 12 years old. Now he's, you know, 50. He's a good guy, Lord. You should heal him. What did I just do? I just brought Tim's righteousness before the throne and tried to present it to God. There's only one righteousness, guys, and that's the righteousness of Christ. None else will do. I've prayed for people that way. And it was offensive for me because I thought I was doing him a favor. And when it came laid to me, I thought, my God, that's offensive. I don't know if I want to give that up. Because I just thought, well, this guy, you know, hey, man, he's 77 years old, and he's done such a good job in my mind for the Lord. And I thank the Lord, you should do this. Why should this guy who has been a part of your church for 52 years suffer and die with his cancer? God, I don't understand it. We've had prayer teams and everything else and nothing. What is God after? He is wanting you to know him. And until you get all that stuff out of the way, you're never going to know him. Let me go get a scripture over here in Jeremiah. And you know, guys, any of that other stuff I'm telling you about with this kingdom, that's where everybody's going. The more excitement, the more people's going to go. But I'm going to tell you what, guys, when you begin to see him, and Lord have mercy, if that excitement don't do it,
that's the fool's goal that you
know. That's the fool's
goal.
Guys, I'm going to tell you what. You know how I judged the Holy Spirit before? This may sound crazy, but here's how I judged if one was in the Spirit or not. Did I feel goosebumps? If I feel the goosebumps, Spirit. If I don't feel the goosebumps, no Spirit. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Until one time, I heard Elvis Presley singing, really, and I felt goosebumps, and I thought, wait a minute, this is the same goosebumps I felt in church, and Elvis Presley singing, I did it my way, I'm feeling the same thing, and I said, Lord, I don't know nothing, because that's how I judged the Spirit. We're told to judge these things. But how do we judge? Try the spirits. Whether they be of God. How do we know that Christ is come in the flesh? You know what that means? That Christ is come in you. Let me say this. I'm going to go get another scripture for you. I don't even know if I get this out right. I'm in Jeremiah 9. I think it's 9. Let me see. I wrote it down somewhere. 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. This is Jeremiah. Let him that glorieth glorieth in this. Now what was Paul saying? Circumcision don't avail us nothing. Non-circumcision don't avail us nothing. If you want to glory, remember Paul said, and they'll glory in your flesh. We read that in Galatians, right? And he says, but here, don't glory in none of that, but here's what you do glory in. That he understandeth and knoweth me. You see, guys, and you're not going to see that fruit all over the place. You're not. It's going to be in the study to show thyself, or study to be quiet. Right? Glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. He delights in judgment, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them that are circumcised with the uncircumcision. We could go on and on. Remember, Noah hastened unto the day of the Lord. Peter said, hasten unto the day of the Lord. What day is he talking about? This day right here. Where loving kindness, judgment, righteousness, we're at in the earth, in you. That that I know, just as Paul says right here. I mean, here's how somebody could come up to me and say, hey, you know, I've done a lot of wrong things in my life. I guess you're going to judge me. Now, here's my judgment. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge. And let me tell you something, guys, you can judge nothing until you've been judged. Until judgment is in you, you can judge nothing. Now, all Christians' judgment is right and wrong. Paul said, this ain't about right and wrong. This we thus judge, that if one died for all die. All die. All dead. Same boat. Now, we got two camps. We got a dead end sin and a dead to sin. Everybody is in this boat over here, dead in sin. The only way to get dead to sin is through the straight gate, through the fire, through Christ. Am I making any sense? That he that died for all, and they which should not live henceforth live unto themselves. Notice what I just said. Don't live unto yourself. Why? Because yourself is a figment of your imagination. That's all yourself is. The only way that's done away is at the cross. Because I now understand I don't come up here and lay my sins. Notice he said it would be an atonement. When God looked at that lamb, he looked at Israel. That was Israel dying. And you know what? When he looked at Christ, he looked at Adam die.
Yes, yes.
That's what he said. You are judged. You are all dead. And only one comes out of that. Christ. I don't even know if this will make any sense. I'm getting way off, but let me just read a little bit, okay? Let me just read. Let me read Revelation chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. I wonder what this cloud is. This is a cloud of witnesses, guys. Here comes about so great a cloud of witness. But this is the revelation of Jesus Christ to you. Not to a nation, not to a world, not to the United States. To you. It's got to be personal. It's got to come right down into it. He says, John. Notice John. And all the things that the Lord had John to do, what did he tell him? Come see. He didn't say, John, I want you to go back and tell everybody this. I want you to preach and baptize. He said, John, come see. You want to be obedient? Come see. See, a hearer only goes out and does. Right? We went over this. He goes out and says, oh, I heard this. Now I got to go do this. A hearer only. But a doer... What does a doer do? He sees. That's amazing, isn't it? You want to be a doer of the word? See. I, John, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet, pillars of fire. Pillars of fire, the brass feet, the brass altar, the judgment. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, I'm not going to do this for you. You do it. You go home and see what the thunders are. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered. Write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to the heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the earth, and the things that are therein in the earth, and the things that are therein in the sea, and the things that are therein and that there should be time no longer. Guys, the voice of the seventh angel has to stand up in you and declare time no longer. Redeeming the time is how Paul would say it. Peter would say it, hastening unto the coming of the Lord. John would say, there'd be time no longer. Because in time, what do we always have? What's always prophesied? The end of time, the end of time, the end of time, the end of time. Until that angel stands up into you and says, you're exactly right. No more time. Why? Because that heaven and that earth is burned up, it's melted away with fervent heat, and you've come into a new day. A new day of eternal life. Jesus would say it this way. Let me just go read it right here in John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. What day is that he's talking about? He's talking about Christ risen and in his glory. And he said, the day is now. And until that seventh angel stands up in you and declares that, and you see it, he said, come on, John, right? I want to show you. There's no more time. No more time for you. Adam is gone. Now all we have is eternal life. And what is eternity? No time. Eternity is not a long time. It's the absence of time. Everything that we see in the natural is subject to time. Everything. Everything of yourself has to come to the cross and be done away. Burn up in the fire till there's nothing left but Him. You see what I mean? Nothing left but Him. And see, that's offensive. That's offensive. Because we want you living again. We want God blessing you. We want you to be high and mighty. Right? I mean, we really do. We really, really do. I'm going to tell you what. I grew up this way. Here's God, and on the great judgment day, He's going to flip the book open. Oh, Clyde Stanley. You know how many Clyde Stanleys there are in the world? You know how many Jim Moores there are in the world? There's probably 47 of them here at Dazzle.
Eight more one like you. That's right.
That's good. But he's going to flip through to Clyde, and he's going to say, oh, here we go, Clyde. Okay, let's see how many goods he's got versus how many wrongs he's got. You know, the truth of the matter is, he don't have a book with Clyde Stanley's name in it. He don't. Clyde Stanley only exists to him. Really, I'm telling you the truth. God has His Son. And we make up the body of His Son. This is not a nation of individuals. This is a nation of one. He looked at Israel and he said, there is my son. Yeah, there was Levi and Benjamin and Ephraim and Manasseh. But God said, behold my son. That's what he said. He didn't say, oh, look at Joshua and look at Moses and look at all these other guys. He said, that's my son right there.
A nation.
We want it to be a nation of individualism. That's what our whole country right now is. It's doing a bunch of. That's why people has got all these earrings and tattoos and everything else that's going on all over the body. Everybody wants to be a bunch of individuals. That's only done away in the cross. And it's offensive. It's offensive to say, you know what? If I want to serve the Lord, I have to do it through His body. So if I really want to serve the Lord, guess what? I got to serve you because you're His body. The real body of Christ. If I want to wash the Lord's feet, I'm not waiting till I get over there. It's you. We serve each other. And that's offensive to me. You don't like that. The message of the cross is just as offensive today as it was when the apostles got beat, beheaded, and all that. It's just as offensive today. I used to go out there and say, I don't want to hear how bad I am, but I want to hear how good he is. You know, along those lines. But the message that I would be hearing all centered on me. It was as if God needed me for his existence. In other words, God said, I just can't be God unless I have Jim Moore to bless. Now, boy, I can. You see? So in other words, I was at the center of attention. The center of the universe. And you know what he says there in Thessalonians? That's the son of perdition. That's the one that has set himself up in the temple. That angel's got to stand up at each one of us and declare, time is no more. Remember when we first started up here, I drew that line on the board, and I said, this is all the other times. But Paul says, this is the administration of the fullness of time. Fullness of time means there's no more time. Same thing he says, John, come see this. And you know what? You will never see that until this angel stands up inside of you and says, now come and see. And what is he showing you? He's showing you the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's it. The revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, I'll call it done for tonight. I went too long.